And now to President Biden seating federal judges. Biden had a record first year compared to numbers of confirmations put up by six presidents before. The Senate recently confirmed his 42nd judicial appointment. But as Brookings points out, 1 year is merely a snapshot, and the Trump administration's modest first year judicial confirmations didn't predict its large number in the end. Do you think President Biden is moving too fast or not fast enough on judgeships? What are your thoughts about the next Supreme Court justice? 800-642-1234. Sarah Benesch is an associate professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee, where she studies judicial decision-making and the legitimacy of courts and institutions. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Well, looking at these numbers, over 4 years in the Trump administration, 226 of his nominees join the federal bench, where, as I mentioned, just over a year into the Biden presidency, he can count 42 new judges. What is the significance of these judges? Why do these appointments matter?
Well, of course, it matters which person sits on the federal bench, because judges have different backgrounds and different preferences, and oftentimes the law is indeterminate. And so when you have a judge who believes in certain values or has certain life experiences, we expect that those judges are going to decide in different ways. So it matters very much who sits on the federal courts. And that's something that was generally more recognized by Republicans than Democrats. But it appears to be the case that the Biden administration is putting a very high priority on filling federal judgeships.
It's catching on, if you will.
Right. They figured it out.
Well, when you say a judge's background and preferences, what about the diversity of the background of these judges, or be it they're a prosecutor or they've been a public defender or they worked for an innocence project or taking civil rights cases? Why is their background something to pay close attention to?
Yeah, it appears to be the case that the Biden administration is really paying very close attention to the backgrounds of its nominees. And so we're seeing a lot more women, a lot more judges of color, and as you said, a lot of judges that have different backgrounds than what we generally expect to see in federal judges. So the tradition has been that federal prosecutors have been far more likely to be on the path to a federal judgeship. And the Biden administration has really highlighted the desire to include public defenders among its nominees for the reason that they feel like, as I said before, life experiences matter. And so in order to provide a little bit more empathy, in order to provide people with the judicial judgeship that have experience with poor people, for example, that see what happens in people's lives that lead them to trials in courts and in the criminal justice system has been really important to the Biden administration. So we know that judges do decide differently depending on their background, especially in certain specific kinds of cases. And that's exactly what the Biden administration appears to be looking for.
Sarah, can you give us a little sense of what the process is for these federal judges to be appointed? What is that on-ramp and making sure that we understand how they become a federal judge?
Sure. So it's a process that happens in consultation with the Senate. So we know that the Constitution provides for the president to nominate federal judges, but for the Senate to advise and consent. There's a lot of debate over what advise and consent means and how deferential or influential the Senate ought to be in the process. There have been differences across administrations in terms of how deferential the administration is to the home state senators, for example. But when a federal judgeship is vacant, the senators from the home state generally find a way to forward some nominees to the president's desk. The president then chooses which nominees to put forward to the Senate. The Senate conducts a hearing and obtains a whole bunch of information and does some background checks for that judge. And then they, if they decide to move forward, will forward that nomination to the full Senate for approval. We know now that, of course, we only need a majority of the senators to confirm a judicial nomination. And so, part of the calculus of any administration is whether or not they're going to get those nominees confirmed, because of course it doesn't matter if you nominate a judge if the Senate decides to reject that judge. So that kind of goes into the front end of the president's decision, this idea of confirmability.
Confirmability. So if President Biden were to lose the Senate, could confirmations become a lot more difficult?
Yes, they absolutely will. And that's part of the reason why we see this expediency on the part of the Biden administration. They recognize that right now is the time that they need to take advantage of their control of the Senate. Democratic senators have all voted in favor of all of the Biden nominations. So the Democratic caucus is very in tune with each other on this topic, even though we've seen some disagreement among Democratic senators on other topics. And so they are certainly moving as fast as they can, both at the lower federal level and I would expect at the Supreme Court level.
Let's look at just one appointee here, one of Biden's appointees, whose nomination still pending before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Judge William Pocan. Pocan has been tapped to fill an open seat on the federal court in Wisconsin's Eastern District in Green Bay. What can you tell us about this appointment?
Well, it was a bipartisan selection. So Senator Baldwin and Senator Johnson convened a bipartisan nominating commission in order to identify some candidates for their consideration. They came up with four candidates, and William Pocan was their choice to forward to the Biden administration. So he has the support of both home state senators, even though they are, of course, of different parties. And the attention that we're seeing for Judge Pocan has stemmed largely from his background as well. And so if he were confirmed, he'll be the first LGBT Article III judge in the Seventh Circuit.
The last name Pocan, relation there to Representative Mark Pocan, right?
Yes, that's his brother.
His brother. UW-Milwaukee political scientist Sarah Benish with us, giving us insights on judicial appointments, how the process works, what she sees coming out of the Biden administration. Are you following judicial appointments? What federal judgeships have stood out to you and why? How do you feel about the confirmation process of federal judges and the advise and consent that we've been talking about? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. President Biden campaigned on the fact that he wanted to appoint the first Black woman Supreme Court justice. It's a decision that we are seeing foreshadow a contentious process in Senate confirmation hearings. We'll get, you know, what will happen? Will he get her nomination through? And who is on the shortlist? 800-642-1234. UW-Milwaukee Political Science Department Chair Sarah Benish stays with us for 10 more minutes. So looking at the Supreme Court, the High Court, with Justice Stephen Breyer retirement, what does this vacancy mean to the court and to the Biden administration?
I think it's really important to the Biden administration for a number of reasons. Court's balance won't change with this appointment, and you've probably heard a lot of commentary about how conservative the court is now after the three Trump appointments. So the court is really a 6-3 court right now in terms of conservatives and liberals. And so it was important to a lot of the Democratic faithful, I guess, that Biden have an opportunity to appoint a young justice who would be on the bench for a long time in order to be certain to hang on to that minority seat that Breyer occupied. And given his increasing age, you know, there was some concern that if the Democrats were to lose the White House, they would lose that opportunity to at least try to solidify the minority coalition to keep those liberal positions at least, you know, on the record, I guess.
I wonder what you think about seating a judge to the high court. Even, has it become too entrenched in party politics? It used to be that a judge's training and temperament and resume were key factors. And now it's just like that political background is glaringly out there in front. Is that new or has it been this way?
It's not new. It's always been the case that senators have been driven by ideological interests and presidents have been driven by ideological interests in the nominations and confirmations process. But I think what's new is the polarization of the Senate. You know, so there was a time when we had senators that were moderate. There was a time when votes on items and issues were bipartisan in nature. There was a time when most appointments to the Supreme Court were confirmed nearly unanimously. So if you think about even, you know, as recently as Justice Ginsburg's nomination, she was not a non-controversial nominee in terms of the fact that, you know, her ideological predisposition was very clear, right? Mm-hmm. She was the leader of the ACLU's women's rights section. She was obviously a pro woman's right, pro equality, very liberal judge. But
she wore it on her sleeve, if you will.
Absolutely, there was no question. And a couple of senators voted against her, but most of them voted for her. You know, so there was a time when that was the case. And so I don't think it's necessarily the things that go into the nomination, because I think those things have always been political. And that's probably the way the framers intended it in putting it into the political branches. But the political branches have never been this polarized. And so I think that makes it even more partisan and even more political.
Let's bring on a caller. Ron is joining us from Blue Mounds. Ron, hi. What would you like to add?
Okay. My question this morning is, you know, we're talking about the selection of judges, and I want to know what degree of influence the Federalist Society and the American Constitution Society has on the selection of these judges. What I have felt is that during the Trump era and before that with the Bushes, they tended to lean to judges that were part of the philosophy, if you will, of the Federalist Society. And what I see now is an awareness from the Bidens that the Federalist Society and their philosophy is one of the divisions and the conflicts that's going on with the appointment of judges.
Ron, thank you for bringing this to the table. Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, interest groups have frequently played a role in Supreme Court nominations, especially since around the time of the nomination of Robert Bork, who was not confirmed, largely because of a groundswell of opposition from liberal interest groups. But the Federalist Society has been special to Republican presidents in terms of the identification of nominees for judgeships. And President Trump certainly spent a lot of time consulting with the Federalist Society, in fact, almost allowing them to choose the list of candidates from which he would pick. Of course, the Biden administration is not as interested in the Federalist Society's input. So the Biden administration is looking to other interest groups to help identify candidates. But the Biden administration has also had a lot of experience in judicial selection. The chief of staff, Ron Klain, had a big role in a lot of judicial nominations. Biden himself, of course, was the chairperson of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so they're not looking for as much outside help. But we will see many interest groups opining on the nominee. And that's a regular part of the process and definitely adds to the political nature of a Supreme Court nomination.
Sarah Benesch with us, political science chair at UW-Milwaukee. Your research focuses on judicial decision-making and the legitimacy of the courts. You can join in on judgeships, what you see, 800-642-1234. You know, it was first reported by the New York Times, former Senator Doug Jones of Alabama would be the Sherpa, the guide for President Biden's nominee through the confirmation process. So escorting the nominee to meetings with senators and the hearings. Are these pre-meetings before confirmation hearings important? And what about the pick of the so-called Sherpa?
I think it's important to have a person who is really keen on or has a really keen eye for politics and understands what the various senators are most interested in. Mm. And I think the meetings matter in terms of providing an opportunity for the senators to meet the nominee as a person, you know, and be able to interact with them, you know, as a person in a setting that is much more casual and relaxed. We have, you know, some indications that, you know, some of these senators will attempt
Confirmation hearings aren't relaxed and chilled?
No, I think we've experienced a couple recently and noticed that they're not exactly relaxed. Yeah. So yeah, this is kind of an informal way for the senators to meet the nominee, and they often do will try to get the nominee on record about certain specific issues. But of course, Supreme Court nominees are very good at being careful not to tip their hands too much.
Okay, so what is the timeline here? When will all this take place? When do you think Biden will make a decision first on a nominee?
Well, he's promised one by the end of February, and I think we can probably expect that that will happen. The Senate appears to be poised to start the confirmation hearings as soon as they have a nominee and want to get that confirmation hearing completed in a timely manner. So the length of the confirmation hearings in some ways will depend on what happens during them, right? So we know that the Kavanaugh hearing, for example, got a little longer than we expected it to be, given some allegations that arose. The candidates that President Biden is looking at, especially the front runner, who everyone seems to think is Ketanji Brown Jackson, has recently been confirmed by the same Senate and even garnered some Republican votes for her confirmation to the D.C. Circuit. And so we might expect that, you know, a nominee like that wouldn't have a whole lot of trouble getting through pretty quickly.
Well, we'll be watching. Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Sarah Benesch, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. And we'll dig into an investigation, stay with us, of the prenatal care coordination industry by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which found fraud and millions of dollars flooding into this industry. News update is next. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.